Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omega 7 live coming to you from my studio. I am your Maliwa, your mother too. I am your empress here to serve you, your advocate, as well as your advisor. Thank you so very much for joining me this evening on our Kick It Off Day. We like to welcome each and every one of you to our segment. This is our last segment of the feature that you're a writer, too, under To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. We'll be starting our new portion of the segment, and that is being at the Writer's Workshop. All next week, we will be featuring an online conferencing that we're partnering with under Luxart Institute for Family Education with the Global National Education Society. You definitely want to Google that and lock it in and make sure you attend. That's the 14th through the 18th, ladies and gentlemen. For all you teachers, parents, social workers, it has been created for you and people at large. You're welcome to attend free of charge. I am one of the sponsors there, and we will be actively involved in working with that conference. So this week, we're going to finish off, and you're a writer too. So we're going to do it up kind of proper-like because we're coming right into our writer's workshop. Even though we've been giving you tidbits about Writer's Workshop. Now, you know, just yesterday I gave you my version of our collection entitled the lily. I've been saying the lily pod, but it's the lily pad because it's coming from our home. I have one more segment to give you, and I'd like to get into that segment as soon as we get ready to go over to dedicate to our mothers and our fathers and acknowledging our higher self. We acknowledge Oladulla Maray today, and I acknowledge my mother's spirit, my yeye, my mother, Yamanja, and I say, Ashe. I like to acknowledge my father's spirit, Obatala, and I say, Ashe. Pouring libations to the east, I look towards the east and say, Ashe. Pouring libations to the west, I look towards the west, and we all say, Ashe. Pouring libations to the north, let us all say, Ashe. Pouring libations to the south, and we all say, Ashe. We acknowledge Oladulla Maray today and Akamare. We acknowledge him in pouring libations to our higher self, Ashe. My prayer for the family is that they become conscious and that they become awakened of the fact that we can do nothing in and of ourselves without our ancestors to guide us. And we are responsible for keeping up with the dead. It is our responsibility to name them, claim them, and reconnect them back to our family. It is my prayer that each one of you who are African-American descent will wake up out of your slumber, out of your anesthesis, and realize you're nothing without your ancestors. You'd be a damn fool for not acknowledging them. And I'm cautioning you today, the things that I do and the rituals that I demonstrate for you, acknowledge them and put them in your repertoire. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my prayer that everyone to the hearing the sound of my voice, that their families may prosper and that they may have abundance and that they have what they say and that their words are like a cutting-edged sword, cutting two-edgedly, cut going in, cut coming out, that their words are very powerful and mighty unto a two-edged sword. And we thank you for joining us this evening. It is our Kick It Up Day. What do you know? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go right over to our last segment that we wanted to introduce to you from the lily pad. And here is one of the segments where Deborah and Sherry and her new boyfriends were talking about going out and discovering that someone was back home pulling their diary out, reading their diary. But we're also going to talk about another member of the family, JC, one of the live-in members of the family. So you get a better picture of the way and the style that I write and how these particular short segments will be connected together to create our playwright. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll bring you right into the program.
Deborah and Sherry meet new boyfriends, Red Borum and John. Sherry, this is Red. Real name is Wallace, and this is John. How do you do? How do you do? Hello. You know, I work on cars, and sometimes I have to work pretty late in the evening, and it would be nice to have some company every now and then, somebody to be around and, you know, bring coffee or whatever. How about you guys staying around this evening while I work on these cars? I don't know, Red, because I do go to school. I haven't finished high school yet. Oh, that's okay. I can work on this tomorrow, possibly during the day if you want to get together then. Red, I understand that you're going to be going off to the Army. Yes, I got my draft letter. I'll be going off to the Army. How's that going to be? Are you going to enjoy being in the Army? Not really, but it's something I got to do, something I have to do. Well, you know, I'd like to take you to a movie or something, maybe a drive-in movie or something. Well, sure, you know Mom's not going to let you go unless one of us go with you. You have to have a chaperone? Kind of like that, Red. It's 11 of us. And sometimes my sister has to send chaperones with us. She's going to have to bear with it. It's just one of those things. Well, I don't mind. It doesn't matter. You're going to have to take Linda along? I hope not. You know what, Sherry? Maybe John and I can just double date. And then Maddie won't even ask us to take a chaperone, as long as the two of us together. John, you think you want to go to see a drive-in movie? Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. I'd like to go to a drive-in movie, if that'll help you guys out. Besides, I'd like to spend some time with you too, Deborah. Oh, well, let me go. Red, why don't you come in, and I want to ask my sister, and maybe you can ask her along with us, okay? Her name is Miss Harvey, all right? Oh, no problem. I'll go ahead. Maddie, I want to introduce you to Red. This is Red and John, his friend. And Red wanted to know if we can go to the drive-in theater with him tomorrow night. Deborah will be going, and John, too. How do you do, Red? Hi, Mrs. Harvey. I was wondering if I could take your sister out to a movie. I'll be going off to the Army pretty soon, and I just thought I'd spend some time with Sherry before I go off to the Army. Would it be okay? Oh, Red, that would be fine. And Deborah, if you're going along with him. And John, where do you work at? Well, I work over there at the mechanic center, fixing cars. You two guys fix cars? Yes, we fix cars. Well, that'd be great. You guys go tomorrow. By what time do you think you're going? Oh, about dusk, probably about 6 o'clock or so. That sounds great. You guys go and have a great time. Thanks so much, Ms. Harvey. It was nice meeting you, Ms. Harvey. Oh, thank you, guys. It was nice meeting both of you. Have a nice time. Sherry, you going to be out there for a little bit longer? Oh, yes. I'm going to sit out and start a little bit with Red. We want to talk a little bit more. But don't be too late. You either, Deborah. All right, Auntie Maddie. Red, I told you she was not such a bad person. Oh, no, Ms. Harvey's pretty nice. We're going to go and have a nice time tomorrow. Why don't you give me a hug, and I'll see you tomorrow. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye, Deborah. Bye, John. Next day, it's time for the theater. Red rolls up in his car, and he blows his horn real, real loud. Red, it is not polite to blow your horn in front of someone's house. Wouldn't it be better if you came in and got your date? Yes, Miss Harvey, you're right. I'll come in. John, I'll be right back. I'm just going to keep the engine running. Sherry, are you ready to go to the drive-in? Oh, yeah, I'm ready. I'm just waiting for Deborah. Deborah, you all down in there? Red and John are here. Okay, I'll be right out. Okay, Red, we're on our way. All right. Bye, Maddie. Bye. Have a great time. Okay. You know, Red, it's nice that we can go and see a show together. It should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. But you know what really worries me is that you got to go off to the Army. I got another friend that's in the Army named Waddell. He was my first boyfriend. Maybe you'll run into him. Maybe I will. But you know, first of all, I just want to get there and do my 3 years and get out. What movie are we seeing? Oh, some Dracula movie. Ooh, I hate scary movies. I don't like scary movies. Well, most of the time we can turn the music down so you won't have to be so frightened. Well, that's good. So how you feeling about going up to the Army? You think you're going to come back being a real soldier? Baby, I'm already a soldier. I thought I had told you, I'm already a soldier. I know, you're a soldier. Well, look, this movie's already over with. Let's, you know, say goodnight and let me get back in before it gets too late. I don't want my sister to be too upset. All right, thank you for this nice evening. Thank you. Bye, Deborah. Bye, John. I'll see you later. Okay, bye-bye. Maybe tomorrow we can go out, tomorrow's Saturday, maybe we can go out and have some lunch together or something. How about it? I'm going to be babysitting, Red. Got a job tomorrow. Maybe you and John want to come with us when we go babysitting. Babysitting where? Over one of my teacher's house. We usually go over there and babysit, and then we eat popcorn instead of half the night. You guys think you want to do that? That sounds like a winner. You sure don't have to ask your sister, Maddie? Well, Maddie always lets our date go with her, so it shouldn't be a problem. All right. But what time are you going to babysit? Probably tomorrow about 7. We'll be over then. Have a great time. Have a nice sleep. Stay tight. And don't let those bed bugs bite. All right, Red. Bye, John. Bye. In the meantime, Linda and Lisa and the gang were at home planned their old jokes and tricks with Jake putting shoes on the door and Puffy rambling around looking for my diary. Sherelle thought to herself, I better hurry and get home before one of them get in my diary and unlock it and read all my secrets. JC, telephone for you. I'll be down in a minute. Those kids doing what they're trying to do. Hello? 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 There's nobody here. Why y'all keep calling me downstairs? It's dying for you, Uncle Jay. Well, don't wake me up no more. We're going to go over here, and we're going to put shoes on the lid of this door. So when JC comes downstairs this time, we're going to have the shoes just tumbling down on him because you know how he likes to run to the phone. And we're going to make the phone ring and tell him that it's still soon. Ring! That's for me. I know that's for me. I'll get it. JC is for you, Uncle Jake. Josephine. I put all these shoes on this door. These shoes hit me right in my head. I'ma whoop y'all. I'ma get that dirt and skin y'all good. Don't y'all play with me. You know I'm JC. I'm your uncle. Get down here, every one of y'all, right now. I want to talk to you. Who did that? Which one of y'all put them shoes on that door? Okay, Jay, we put the shoes on the door because we'd like to see how you run down the stairs. And you always get so excited when we tell you it's Josephine. Y'all don't want to play with me because I'm grown. Don't do that. Don't play with me. Maddie, these kids are something else. I'm going to have to take a strap to them. I came down here today, and they pretend the telephone was for me. And they put shoes on the lid for the door, and they crumpled all on my head. I don't know if I should take the bell and whip them, or if I should tell you whip them. But I'm a little tired of them calling me to the phone when there's nobody there. But, J.C., you know how they love to have you come to the phone and run down when you think it's Josephine. It's just a practical joke. You're going to have to just get over it. Well, I don't know how much getting over it is that I'm going to get over. But I don't want no shoes coming down on my head every time I come to the phone. Well, just be mindful, J.C. You have to be careful when the game is in effect. J.C. was a live-in extended family member. He lived upstairs in the room most of the time when he wasn't working or out on Saturday night with his friends. Most of the time, he would come in late at night anyway and managed to stagger his way up to the bedroom. He was kind of like dust, a mold or something, like a permanent fixture around the house that nobody seemed to notice. But every now and then, he liked to rattle the cages of his family members just to let them know that he still lived there. He was a soft-spoken, quiet man who kept to himself most of the time. And he and Maddie were very, very close. They grew up together. They were the two oldest. So he had vowed to help Maddie, and Maddie had vowed to help him. So they stayed together to help the family. He was almost 50 years old before he finally decided to get married. And boy, was the family excited about the fact that J.C. was going to get married. In the meantime, Sherelle rushes in, and she looks around the room. She sees who's missing. She says, that's it. Jonas probably got my diary. So she runs upstairs, and she searches inside of her drawer, looking all over for a diary, and she doesn't seem to find it. Linda's got my diary, she thought. She's reading all my secrets. Oh, no, I can't let her do that. I'm going to get this straight today. Maddie, you need to speak to Linda. My diary's missing. What do you mean? My diary's missing. The only person that could have it is Linda, Dodo. Well, why would she be reading your diary? Just trying to find out what I'm doing, all my secrets. Well, you know what? She told me that she read some things in your diary that we need to talk about. Maddie, that's not right. Nobody has a right to go in my diary and read anything. Those are my private and personal secrets. My childhood dreams and fantasies. Nobody has a right to read those. Well, listen, she said that she read some things in there, but she gave me the diary, and I want to give it back to you. Keep it locked up next time. That's a personal thing. Don't keep it unlocked and hide it somewhere so she can't find it. You know how nosy Dodo is anyway. In this family, there was always somebody coming to stay at the Harvey's house. We already had 18 children there with an extended family member of J.C. And periodically, Uncle Son would come and he would stay also. And he would sit around and play cards and checkers and teach us all of the tricks and skills of the card game. He was my favorite. I liked it when Uncle Son came around because I knew I could always get Juicy Juice gone. He was a sweetheart, too. He never made a fuss or anything. And he didn't come home drunk or staggering. He was always there for supper, and he supported the family. But then there was other family members, like Louise. She came and stayed with us when her house got burned out, and she brought her three children with her. And they had to wait until their house got rebuilt. It was so crowded in that house. I was just amazed how many people could squeeze in those rooms. We were overwhelmed by all the people in the house. And not to mention, my other brother, Robert Jr., came, and his family came and stayed also. This house was always expanding and enlarging. No matter what it took, Maddie would always make a little more room for family members to come and stay. But it made us more of a family. It made us more of an institution. We felt like we could always heal and bind the family. No matter what it took, we could open up our doors. And that's what we did. This home was known for extending and bringing in outside family members. After all, it was a home that my father had told my sister to make sure that she bought. And she did. And she made sure everyone took advantage of living in that home.
We interrupt these airways. Because I think that there's somebody out here wanting to see us, and they're claiming that they're in Hotep. In Hotep? How could in Hotep be visiting us? He's got to be a spirit. He can't be a real person, can he? He's saying that he wants to take over the radio show. And he's telling me that he's going to work the keyboard for me to give him the full control. I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a hostile takeover. Anyone kept telling us that he's going to take over. What should I do?
Look out!
I don't know what to do. But when you find the spirit wants to come in and take over, you've got to do something. I know he said he was going to come and visit us, but I didn't think it would be this soon. I mean, should I let him take over the radio station?
Silence! Stand perfectly still. You have awakened me from my final sleep.
Well, I gotta hold him up.
I also visit a seat. On this good will, I am able to see all things past and all things to the present. So, who are you?
I'm Romeo.
Where and from whom I came? Is it one of those who wish to know why my reward?
Yes, yes, I am among those.
Then behold me.
I will behold you.
Which in the tongue of my people means he who comes in peace. I am chief ritual priest. I walk in the footsteps of the gods. Look at me and feel my inner beauty, which comes from me striving to be the very devil I can be. See that my very blackness celebrates the glory of the Supreme One. I, as all other priests, have even shaven my head so that my black skin can more fully absorb the sun's rays. I am a Kemite, a black and proud race of people, currently called Egyptians. However, I prefer to call myself and my people by our own name. Kemites from the black clan of Kemet. My father is Kenofer, a distinguished servant of Pharaoh Zoser. My mother is Redonk, a great lady of noble birth from the city of Mendez. I was born in Amtaut, which means life of the two lands, the upper and lower Kemet. Amtaut is near Memphis, the seat of Zoser's power. We black people of Kemet, the black land, was created in the image of the Supreme One, the creator of the heavens and earth. He is the one who created light out of blackness. Blackness existed before anything or anyone. My people are religious people. We believe that strength, wisdom, and courage comes from worshiping our ancestors and natural elements. In our religion, we have priests and scribes who impart divine wisdom and provide instructions on the practicalities of life. Two religious figures in particular are my mentors and encourage me. Thoth, the god of divine intelligence and healing, is the one who inspires my work in medicine. Ptah is the spirit which I rely on for directions in every area of life. She helps me see the relationships between people, things, and events. In the Kemetic faith, the snake is the symbol of resurrection because the shedding of old skin represents a new life. Thoth carries the staff on which the serpent is wrapped. In my faith, we have general gods. We have sun, moon, and earth goddesses. They help us understand the universe. I rely on them to understand how things and people are to function within the universe. Through our faith and reliance on Thoth and Ptah, we Kemites became great priests, philosophers, scholars, engineers, mathematicians, scientists, astrologers, and physicians. But it was our work and inventions of medicine which hail us as the first and greatest scientific nation. The art of healing has always been part of Kemetic history and experience. Kemetic physicians were at the forefront of developing medicine and healing. We specialize in the treatment of a single disorder. We believe that it is better to know all about one part of the anatomy. Therefore, some physicians cure diseases and injuries of the head, others of the teeth, others of the eye, others of the intestines, and so on. We were great doctors and surgeons as well. We mastered the science of pathology. We are well known for our mummification processes. As medical scientists, we discovered that the heart is the seat of everyone's conscience, intellect, and emotions. Therefore, the dictates of the heart can influence the functions of the body. Through our work and research, we also discovered drugs and other pharmaceutical products that help heal the body. For example, we use copper salts as antiseptics and an African plant called aloe for soothing and healing. Our libraries are overflowing with the party on medical procedures. Why then am I called the father of medicine? It is because I took the physicians of old and the others that came before me as my role models. I studied medical procedures. I studied medical literature. I lived in the libraries, and I became so well-versed that I could embellish the procedures and literature with my own observations and discoveries. Now, none other than myself embodies more fully the finest and highest of Kemetic medicine. I am known as the world's first multi-genius, and I am first among physicians. I am the epitome of scientific and clinical priest physician of the Hopi Valley, the valley which Florida is called the Nile. I am known as the greatest healer because I perfected the art of medicine and have written many papyri on healing. The arts and sciences are the highest symbols in the Kemetic culture. Culture, in simple terms, is all that a people believe about the world and themselves. We developed a first-rate culture, and as you will see, other people not only copied it, but tried to discredit us so that they could claim it as own. Our temples are adorned with our script, denoting the constellations of the heavens, and with the zodiac signs which we created to tell us when to act. Our Kemetic script has helped many nations understand biology, zoology, solar and lunar signs, and much more. We have infused other arts and sciences throughout the world through observation, language, and the application of science. From observing our scripts and language, others have come to understand how art and science come together. As a scribe, I, Imhotep, use the signs to dispense wisdom in parables and proverbs. For this reason, I am known as the Sage of Sages, one of the wisest persons who ever lived. I am also known as a mason, excavator, molder, sculptor, and architect. I constructed the step pyramid at Saqqara and a stairway that Pharaoh Zosar used to ascend to heaven. This structure has been called a mathematical wonder because the stone fits so perfectly that it was not necessary to bind them together. Because of the step pyramid, I am known as the initiator of the pyramid age. In Kemet, architecture is considered the highest science because it symbolizes the highest of religious, philosophy, art, and scientific thought. Understand that everyone has a task in life. In order to fulfill your task, your life must have direction. Life has no meaning if it has no direction. Let these words be a lesson to you. You must know direction comes through education and character. Real education is finding and discovering you, your talents and abilities. Reading, writing, mathematics, and science are your tools in becoming you and doing what you are supposed to do. So learn your tools well. Now, as for character, it comes from perseverance and from you holding yourself, your family, your knowledge, and what you know is right in high regard. You must know and believe that you are on this earth to fulfill a good purpose. For a better understanding, look at the paradox that we etched in stone for all humankind throughout the ages to see. Our Sphinx tells the riddle of the ages about humankind. Notice that there is the head of a man on the body of a lion. The answer to this riddle is that the mind of man is to be the master over his lower animal desires. Therefore, let reason rule, and let man know himself to be a co-creator in the destiny of himself and that of the world. Now, let me tell you how ancient Kemet came into being. The mighty Nile, the longest river in the world, is the mother of Kemet. As the Nile flows north from the Blue Nile in the mountains of Ethiopia, it carries a rich form of mud called silt. Every year, the Nile overflows its banks, thus leaving this silt as a residue on the land. And everywhere it settled, vegetation and food grew in rich abundance. After many, many years of the Nile depositing huge amounts of mud and silt, a large landmass was created. This landmass became an extension of the Ethiopian Empire. The people of the area, the Ethiopian and Nubian people, who had always thought of the Nile as their primary source of life, began to settle in this area. Now, armed with the secure knowledge that every year the Nile will overflow and create an agricultural surplus, the Ethiopian and Nubian people were able to build permanent communities. They began building farms, marketplaces, religious temples, schools, hospitals, and libraries. Their system of government, to some extent, was borrowed from their parent, Ethiopia. Finally, the civilization of Kemet was a reality. Thus, the great continent of Africa not only gave us the fabulous empires of Ethiopia and Kemet, but as you will soon learn, the beginning of Western civilization.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have been taken over by hostile spirit, and that's Imhotep. He is running things in this studio. I don't have any control over it. My guest out there in the chat room, that was Imhotep. He's speaking through a spirit of some sort, telling us about the now and how the Ethiopians were a part of building the empire. I'm so grateful that he chose our room to come into today. I hope he comes back again. He was giving us all this information. I wonder if he's done. Let's check and see, because I don't want to embarrass him or perturb him. He might get upset.
In the following stories, which I'm going to tell you, I want you to clearly understand what other people learned and borrowed from the Kemetic people. At an early time in historic memory, the Kemetic people began venturing throughout the earth. They settled in Kolokoi, which is on the Black Sea and on the Isles of Kor, elsewhere among white-skinned people. They took with them philosophy, art, the art of healing, the festival of circumcision, our form of government, and much more. These white people became fascinated with all that the Kemetic people offered as an advanced civilization. We introduced them to medicine, healing, mathematics, science, and storytelling. They were even more fascinated because the Kemites did not impose on others. They lived peacefully among themselves. As a result, the white settlers wanted to know where the Kemetic people came from. People being interested in the Kemite past, white people began coming to Kemet to discover the source of our knowledge. Early on, the main group of people were from some of the white-skinned tribes who had lived in the mountains of Asia, and who had moved west and settled in areas across the Great Sea from Lower Kemet. But unlike Kemet, in which the two lands are united, these tribes had not reached unification, and disputed it separate with limited contact with others.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank Imhotep for giving us that body of history. That is information that I couldn't have told you if I wanted to. I hope you were able to decipher all of that information, the depth of the now, and giving us all of this perspective about where Greek philosophy came from and was there ever any Greek philosophy. You know, this is the Care to Read room, and we do acknowledge literature in this room, and good, rich literature, to be exact. And I told you that Imhotep's spirit may break loose and come in and try to take over the radio station, and I didn't know that if he didn't come during my prayer session that he would show up later, but it's worth it. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this episode is going to be the most treasured because I've learned so much about my history. And it's important that we should have playwrights like this, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Reed Armstead's voice. He created the Aesop Fable right here in Indianapolis, Indiana. That is a collection from his Aesop Fable. He created Imhotep. He engulfed him with knowledge and information and infused him in a book on tape and audio, which you can purchase. It's available through Aesop Fable. You could contact Reed Armstead. You Google his name and find out exactly where his materials are, then you can purchase those. I wanted you to hear it from the horse's mouth. I've been preaching about history for so long, but it's great to hear from somewhere else. And I hope you enjoyed the listening audience for my tapes entitled From the Lily Pad. I gave you a little example of some of the writings that we're going to be producing. I want you to join us and be a part of this kick it up ceremony because, you know, in this room we do kick it up. So let's get to kicking it up and line up and move the tables out of the way and let's get this going. All right now. gentlemen, somebody just told me Harry Tubman came in.
I hear a rap. Stand perfectly still. Don't make any noise. You don't want to just stand. But this, the sting of the stick is less venomous than the sting of flavor. For the fangs of a relationship slavery eat away at in the taser session while the victim is yet alive. So with my size or my sex fingers, I might be smart. I suffer from Jesus spells, and I am one of the supposedly weak sex. But I'll stand up to anybody or anything at any time because I've got life on my side. And again, long day. I remember when the voice first came to me. That night, my spirit was left. My soul was stiff. Couldn't shake. It was like I was studying on something and didn't know what. I got up and I stepped outside my castle. A warm south wind burned my face. A blood moon danced coldly around this hope, the menacing cloud as it suspended itself.
I guess I don't have to tell you whose voice that is. That is the incomparable Moses. Say it with me. Moses' spirit is in the house, ladies and gentlemen. She came back to visit us. She said she would bring her spirit back. She said she was going to come back if Imhotep came in the room. She wasn't as hostile as Imhotep. What they're both saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that we're going to have to get our history together. We're going to have to learn something about our knowledge. They shouldn't have to be coming back from the spirit to tell us about who we are. We should know who we are. And they have not left their spirit here in vain. You and I must mount up on wings like an eagle, and we must search for our history as if it is a thirst after knowledge and truth. Harriet Tubman was down in the Underground Railroad. Now she's bringing her spirit back strong on the earth, stronger than ever before. And then when Imhotep comes on the scene, you know he's a mastermind. It's time for all of us to wake up, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be surprised if Harriet doesn't show up in your hometown or right in your neighborhood. She's telling you it's time to get up and get busy.
By his master. I was still a slave. My husband refused to join me on my rendezvous with liberty. But no matter, no matter, the voice had spoken, and it had decreed what must be so. I was bound to and deliver myself and my people into the bloody city. My two brothers started out with me, but they lost their nerve and returned. And I went on by myself. I wasn't afraid. I knew that I had been given wings. I walked through the back ways of Maryland in my worn-out shoes again. One night, I come to a creek. I looked at the holes in my shoes, and I looked at the creek again. But steady now, because I knew I wore the gospel shoes. So I waded steadily against the current across the water during the dead of night. Too tired to continue, I hid myself amidst the fire-colored brush that skirted the bank. When I awoke, the night had ebbed, a red-orange-colored sun that looked as big as it was lied down upon me as it hovered in the east. Its rainbow-colored rays rained down upon me, flooding and burning my soul. My new day had just begun, and from then on, I would live by the promise of life.
Ladies and gentlemen,